Picture a six-year-old walking through the gates of an amusement park, clutching every dollar she owns. Within 5 minutes, she blows it all on a carnival game. No rides, no snacks, no souvenirs. Just one impulsive decision and 8 hours of regret ahead. When the tears start, her parents do something that feels almost cruel. They say no. No loans, no bailouts, no rescue. When the money's gone, it's gone. That little girl was Rachel Cruz, and that painful day became one of the most valuable lessons of her life. Her parents, Dave and Sharon Ramsey, were conducting a 20-year experiment in raising financially literate children, an experiment that would eventually reach millions through books, radio shows, and Financial Peace University. What makes their approach so compelling isn't just the financial principles themselves, but the fact that Rachel and her siblings became living proof that these methods work. Today, Rachel stands alongside her father, not as a cautionary tale of financial failure, but as evidence that children can learn to navigate money with wisdom, confidence, and joy. This isn't about raising penny-pitching misers or trust fund kids. It's about cultivating adults who understand that money is a tool for building meaningful lives, not just accumulating stuff. Allowances suggest children deserve money for existing, but money comes from work. From age 5, the Ramsey children earned commission through chore charts, 5 paid tasks worth $1 each, alongside unpaid family responsibilities like making beds. For young children, the work-reward connection must be immediate and tangible. A 3-year-old picking up toys needs enthusiastic praise and visible payment in crisp dollar bills, creating a powerful association between effort and reward. As children mature, responsibilities should expand. By 12, Rachel had developed a professional babysitting business with a presentation binder containing qualifications and testimonials. Her thoroughness secured more jobs than her friends, teaching her that quality work creates competitive advantage. For teenagers, work should extend beyond home. Rachel and her sister started Your Integrity Snacks, selling refreshments throughout their father's office building. When inventory disappeared without payment, they learned hard lessons about profit margins and human nature. Teaching children to work isn't exploitation, it's about dignity. Children who learn to work develop respect for others' efforts and approach life with confidence rather than entitlement. In a world of easy credit, we've forgotten that money runs out. The envelope system makes this tangible. When an envelope is empty, spending stops. Children naturally develop as either spenders or savers. The goal isn't changing their personality, but teaching wisdom within it. Spenders are generous and spontaneous, but can be impulsive. Savers are patient and responsible, but can become stingy, hoarding resources they never enjoy. Parents must model healthy habits. Children imitate what they see. Those who impulse buy teach children that spending solves emotional problems. Children also need small, inexpensive failures while stakes are low. A poor video game decision at 13 is far less devastating than a poor car buying decision at 23. Teaching opportunity cost helps children understand that spending money on one thing prevents spending it on another. A simple wait overnight rule before purchases can dramatically improve decision-making. When 6-year-old Rachel wanted doll furniture, her father took her to a flea market and negotiated the price from $50 to $35 while she watched, showing her that prices aren't always fixed. The ultimate goal isn't preventing children from enjoying spending, but teaching them to spend wisely within their means. From 14 to 16, Rachel obsessively saved for a bright yellow Nissan Xterra. Her parents wouldn't buy cars for their children, so every babysitting job and business hour went toward this dream. For a natural spender, this taught her how to save seriously. America struggles with savings. 64% can't cover a $1,000 emergency with cash, and 25% have no savings at all. Research shows adults with good financial skills typically had parents who instilled saving habits in childhood. Personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% head knowledge. Children aren't naturally patient, but saving teaches delayed gratification in our instant gratification culture. Technology and easy payments let us have almost anything immediately, whether we can afford it or not. When children save for purchases, they learn patience, goal setting, and thoughtful purchasing. For ages 6 to 13, about 40% of commissions should go towards saving for bigger purchases. Help kids select reasonable goals, make them visual, and celebrate achievements. The Ramseys implemented the 401 Dave plan. Whatever children saved for their first car, Dave and Sharon matched it. Every financial decision became magnified for Rachel. A $50 clothing purchase meant $100 less for her car. After 2 years, she had $8,000, which became $16,000 with the match. Teaching children to delay gratification sets them up for lifelong success. Dave's materialistic focus shifted in his 20s when he learned about stewardship, managing God's resources rather than claiming ownership. This perspective transformed how he and Sharon raise their children, teaching them that money belongs to God and they are merely managing it for Him. Rachel finds it hard to imagine her father as someone who didn't give, having only known her parents as outrageous givers. She notes that millennials are less likely to donate to charity, the tragedy being they'll never experience giving's transformative power. Dave describes selfish people as having a spiritual smell because they're stopped up, like the Dead Sea, which has no life because water flows in but never out. Selfish people approach every interaction transactionally rather than relationally. Children watch how parents give. Rachel recalls watching her parents put a check in the church offering bag every Sunday. Even with online banking, Rachel suggests parents occasionally write physical checks so children can witness the act. In the Ramsey household, children put at least $1 from their $5 weekly commission into their give envelope, effectively 20% of their earnings. Rachel took her give envelope to church and put her own dollar in the offering bag, creating a meaningful connection between working for money and choosing to give it away. All Ramsey children participated in mission trips, providing life-changing experiences through exposure to different cultures and extreme poverty. Dave shares a touching story about Rachel in kindergarten. When asked to draw what they'd do with $100, most children wanted toys. Rachel's response, "I would give it to the poor people," moved Dave and Sharon to tears, especially meaningful since just 4 years earlier, they had been in bankruptcy court. Debt means owing anything to anyone for any reason. Today's college graduates average $35,000 in debt before their first job. The financial industry has normalized debt so thoroughly that most believe debt-free living is impossible. Nobody admits loving debt, yet people constantly say, "I'll always have a car payment," or "student loans are good debt." Your child will hear these lies repeatedly. Normal in America is broke. Do normal behaviors, get normal results. Rachel recalls a high school friend who drove a new car and carried designer bags, but couldn't afford a $150 concert ticket. Her mother explained that debt makes people look better off than they are, living a lie while possibly broke inside. As Texans say, big hat, no cattle. Dave challenges the build your credit myth. His FICO score is zero, yet he thrives by paying cash. The FICO algorithm measures only debt, not wealth, savings, or financial discipline. Car payments devastate middle-class finances. The average $492 monthly payment invested from age 25 to 65 would grow to over $5.8 million at retirement. One couple with $160,000 in student loans faces $1,800 monthly payments, forcing them to abandon their missionary dreams. By teaching debt-free living through conversation and example, parents break generational cycles. In a culture worshiping credit, choosing debt-free living is choosing freedom, a legacy worth fighting for.